It's time for an adventure. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. As you can see, I'm out walking, but you might wonder where. So I'm in Northern California for sure. I've not taken a long trip to change locations. I'm along the Pacific coast. Because the weather is splendid today, I thought this would be a great day to go down to the ocean, to a very picturesque area, a place that people value for its natural beauty. This is Shark Fin Cove. I parked the car in a parking lot along Highway 1 and walked down here to visit this location. This is what it looks like as I arrive on the scene. There's a relatively new fence here. This wasn't here before. And then there is an opening in that fence so that I can walk down the trail. This is Shark Fin Cove. You can see where it got its name because that rock is shaped similar to what we think of as the shape of a shark's dorsal fin. There are people here, but not a whole lot of them. It's not a mob scene. There are not too many people here to spoil the experience. It's a Sunday morning, so it could be busy, but at this point it is not. This is the trail down to the beach, and luckily I have some good hiking shoes, so I'm going to walk carefully down this trail. In the name of safety, I'm not going to try to be a videographer and a hiker on a treacherous trail. I looked at the trail. It is pretty steep. So I'm going to do one thing at a time, and I'll report to you further down the trail. This is the next steep section. So with some concentration and some careful foot placement, I should be able to get down to the bottom of this, down to the beach. As you can see, I successfully navigated that steep trail. Experience tells me to focus. If it looks potentially dangerous, if it looks like one could fall and be injured, that's a good time to focus. So I put the camera away. I put it in my pocket, actually. I had both hands free and walked down that trail without any difficulty. At one point, the footing was not easy. One of my feet slipped a bit, and I reached over and grabbed a plant to stabilize myself. That's a normal human response when one is falling or slipping. We really want to establish stability, and we do it with reflexes. We reach out and grab things. If we're falling, we try to break our fall by putting out our hands. This is the reflex that causes people to break their wrist when they fall, because their reflex has them extend their hand to break their fall, and they do break their fall, but in so doing, sometimes they break their wrist. While I was on that trail, I noticed that a couple of plants had been pulled out by their roots, and it appeared that someone else had slipped and tried to fall and grabbed a plant for stability. Here we have a cave. It's not entirely obvious to me what that cave is all about. It may be worth a little quick investigation. You can see that water is streaming out of the hillside, out of that cave. I'm coming down to a place that the erosion has cut a hole, making an arch in this stone. This is amazing. I had no idea. Now you're looking at the Pacific Ocean through this natural arch. You can see a lot of effect of erosion on this stone. The seawater has shaped that stone. Here you can see the bluff above this cove, and there are trails up there. So after I hike out of the cove, I will go up to the bluff and get a look at this from above. Here you can see somebody has built a fire on the beach. I'm not certain whether that's permitted or not. Here you can see the opening of that arch from the ocean side. This is that same arch that I showed you from the inside. And you see the surf is coming right up to the mouth of that arch. So as we turn to the left, you can see this cove is not very large. I think it's time for me to walk over to that cave and see what that has to offer. And then I will hike up to the bluff again and see what the trail looks like on the top of these cliffs. Here's a stone embedded in the sand. It has some interesting features. I interpret that stone as having been eroded by the action of the ocean, resulting in those surface features. Sometimes people form opinions, they jump to conclusions about things they observe. I can remember one time we were visiting a lake in Ontario when I was very young. And we were told by local people that a specific rock was a meteorite. It was a large, very dark stone. It had some unusual surface features, and it didn't match the stones around it. So people concluded that it was a meteorite, that it came from outer space and crashed into that part of Ontario. It was no meteorite. It was just a stone with some interesting surface features, and people guessed that it might be from outer space. As I looked at this stone, I was thinking that people might be tempted to consider this a meteorite because it's different than the other stones here. It's very dark, and it has some unusual surface features. That's definitely a meteorite, right? I don't think so. So here is water running out of this cave. The water has allowed a lot of vegetation to develop. It's lovely. I'm not entirely sure whether I can get into that cave safely. It's a question that is yet unanswered. We will see. I just spoke with three people who came out of that cave. As I came up here, I heard voices echoing inside the cave. As they emerged, I asked them how far back the cave went, and they said that they did not know. No one here has brought a flashlight. We have hiking shoes. I have a camera. I am properly dressed. I applied sunscreen, so I'm very well prepared. However, I did not anticipate encountering a cave that would be totally dark inside, so I didn't bring a flashlight. I'm not even certain if I have one in the car. Maybe. So I'm going to determine whether it appears to be safe and reasonable to explore into this cave. We will see. Well, I did a little bit of reconnoitering. That is, I explored the entrance of the cave a little bit, and I discovered that the cave entrance is full of water. It's not solid ground. I'm not prepared with proper footwear to deal with wading through water. And it looked like climbing up there was going to be a little treacherous. Specifically, there was nothing to hold on to. And I also decided that climbing down would be treacherous as well. So I decided that the better part of valor was to avoid going into that cave. I have a report from other people that it goes back maybe 100 yards. I have no way to confirm that, and I don't choose to take on all the risks of going into a dark cave with no flashlight and without proper footwear. I have now explored all of this area, so now it's time to walk up the trail to the top of the bluff. I'm now on the top of the cliff. You can see I'm walking along a road. They're doing work around here, including the installation of that fence. To the left here, you can see the railroad tracks, but the top of the rails is all corroded. The top is completely corroded. If a railroad is in use, if it has been used recently, the wheels of the train will polish the top of the rails. They will remain very shiny for some time. So as I look at those rails, the tops of the rails are corroded. That tells me that no train has passed along this way in a very long time. That railroad is not in use. As I walk along here, I see a lot of wildflowers. This time in the late spring, there are a lot of wildflowers. I'm now up on the top of the cliff, and here is a place from which I can look down and see where we were. This is the cove. Down below is the entrance of that archway. And over there is that cave that I chose not to enter. Here I'm on the top of the cliff. That is Shark Fin Rock. And this is the cove that we looked at from the beach. You can see we have a lot of wildflowers here. I walked around to the other side of the cove, to the north side. As I pan to the left, you can see there are more people now. One family is setting up for a picnic. And then right there is where that arch opening is in the cove. This was a nice hike. It wasn't very long. The view was breathtaking, and it wasn't very crowded. This was a very good idea to come out here today and take advantage of this beautiful spring weather. This video is perhaps a little shorter than some of the other episodes, but as you develop a hunger for good, comprehensible input for improving your English, you will find over 500 videos in the video library. I invite you to explore that library and take advantage of more than 170 hours of input that you can use 24 hours a day. People who put in a lot of time watching content like this report to me in the comments section that they can tell the difference. They can tell that their listening comprehension is improving and their mental image of the English language is improving. Everyone comes to language learning with different needs. Some people need better listening comprehension. Other people need more confidence speaking. Still, other people may be mostly concerned about their pronunciation. We don't try to get rid of our accent when we speak our target language, but we want our pronunciation to be good enough that we are understood when we speak to others. If you feel that you need better listening comprehension, better confidence speaking, and perhaps better pronunciation, these are the three areas in which you can benefit from comprehensible input. If you're new to comprehensible input, I have a lot of videos on what it's all about and how to use it. You'll find a playlist on language learning in this channel. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.